Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I hope you had a great day. I hope if you're on 95, driving along 95, that you're being careful, even though you're listening to the best show on radio tonight, 95.9, True Oldies in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. I hope the weather's nice tonight, so there's no weather for anybody to be worried about. I'm really excited to do tonight's show. I really am. I don't know why it's taken me so long to do a show like this. Next week, actually, will be my 9th anniversary of doing this show. 9 years. And I can't believe that I have waited this long to do a show like this. And what I'm talking about is that I am bringing some very special people on tonight who work with me, along with me, in my organization. They are on the front lines of the caregiver dynamic, and we're going to talk about how we hire caregivers, what we look for in caregivers, how we match caregivers to clients, the things that we need to know, the things you need to know if you need a caregiver, the things you should know to make sure that you get the best caregiver you possibly can, and for us to tell you how you do that. So I have two of the three people who work in my scheduling and HR group tonight, and I'm really excited. I'm going to tell you more about them in just a minute. But first, I want to take a minute because COVID's not going away. And in case you thought it was, you know it's not. It is everywhere. But I want to give a special shout out. You know, last week, somebody I know in one of the communities came down with COVID, one of the employees in those communities. And I know that she did everything she possibly could to be safe. And in spite of that, to protect both herself and the residents in her senior community, she still came down with COVID. She was tested every week. It's really terrible. So I want to give a shout out to all the heroes. I want to talk about all the heroes in the senior living communities in our area. In addition to hospital staff, first responders, fire, police, my in-home caregivers, and more. All of these people in assisted livings, independent livings, and skilled nursing facilities never get the recognition they deserve. So tonight, right here, they will. We want to thank you for everything that you're doing here tonight. So, to my guests, who, as I said, work with us here at Comfort Care, they work with me. Tori Watts and Claudine Lewis are here. And Claudine and Tori, along with Leisha Petit-Frere, who is not here tonight because she's in nursing school and she's taking a test, which we hope is going well, they run our scheduling department and they handle all our onboarding and HR functions. And I thought, in a moment of drunken stupor, that it would be a great show if we talked about how they do their jobs and how that ensures that clients get what they need in their homes and receive the best possible care that they can. So, ladies, first, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I have forgotten how long you're both here. You're both here. Claudine, you've been here a long time. You started part-time on the front desk. How long have you been here?
Since February 2012.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
February 28th, 2012.
Wow. February 28th. Ah. Melissa's birthday.
And that's a lucky day.
It's a lucky day. Yeah. Wow, we're thrilled. She started out, for those who don't know, Claudine started out part-time, but she was a medical assistant before she came here. Tori, how long are you here?
I have been here since October 2015.
Wow. So also almost 6 years, yes. 5 years, 6 years. And you were a full-time caregiver before
yes.
this. So what I tell people all the time is you, along with Leisha, you guys speak caregiver, and
yes.
that's really, really critical. So instead of my doing all the talking, why don't you tell the audience what you got? What's a typical day like? What do you do every day?
So. Would you like me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. A typical day in comfort care scheduling.
Right.
Basically, you're getting in, making sure everything is okay from the day before. It's a big thing to make sure everything is okay, went okay the day before, so that everything can go okay the next day. Because if you messed up the day before, you're going to have some mess ups the next day, and then you're going to have what you had to do on top of that. So you don't want that. It's just making sure your caregivers are at the right place with the right client. You have to make sure that we can't keep so much of a hold on what time they get there. We can tell them what they have to do. But again, we have caregivers that are attentive enough to know, okay, if this is happening, call Comfort Care. I'm running a little late. It's a matter of juggling early morning. Your caregiver is going to work. Scheduling doesn't come until later on in the evening, afternoon. That's when the scheduling the next case, because 9 times out of 10, we've already scheduled days before.
Right.
So that's one thing that Claudine has taught me since I've been there. Stay ahead. Don't get a little comfortable in being okay with you scheduling Monday, Tuesday. Tori tried to do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so that if something comes in new, you're not struggling. You're not fighting to get that done plus what you already had.
Right.
So it's just a matter of matching your caregivers to who they need to be with and the type of cases they want, as well as the types of facilities, as well as what's going on right now. So right now it's a little tougher than what it has been before.
In many
COVID.
Ways. And we're going to talk about how COVID's impacted that as it goes on. Claudine, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, honestly, I have such a great team. I don't really step into the scheduling department to schedule, but I do oversee what they do sometimes. And for me, I just try to get caregivers in here. I'm calling people. I'm making sure that they have their credentials to work with us. We're not only schedulers, we're therapists. We're calming
mediators.
Situations down. Yes, we're letting them know that they're okay. We're parents.
Yes.
So, yeah, we do all of that. It's not just scheduling. It's whatever comes with the day. And then we have to keep all the marketers and you, Scott, in line.
Yeah.
And that's a heavy task. I don't envy that part of your job. So, you know, it's interesting in listening to you, and I guess, you know, of course, I understand this, but not everybody understands this. Schedules change, right? There's a sudden doctor, somebody's not feeling well, a caregiver calls off, a client changes the schedule.
Yes.
So we don't just assign a caregiver to Mrs. Jones and then forget about it, because there are lots of things that interfere with the best laid plans, right?
Absolutely.
It's no way to forget about it.
No, I mean, a good case we don't hear from until we hear from them. And then normal cases, they change. The client calls and changes the time. The caregiver can't make it on time or make it at all. Anything.
It's a family and you're dealing with a brother and a sister.
And the other
the
brother
parents
and sister.
And the other brother and sister. So it's basically sometimes you connecting the dots to the communication of what really needs to happen for mom or for dad, because you are dealing with siblings that don't get along sometimes.
All the time.
No, and we're dealing with a clientele that may develop increased needs or decreased needs on a moment's notice, right?
Yes.
I mean, we think that we can plan everything, but it's really difficult to do that at times.
Yeah, you can't plan everything with the case, because that case can change 5 times in one day.
Yeah.
Right.
You cannot plan and think that it's going to stick. You just have to be ready to jump into whatever change is going to now come.
Right. And you also mentioned something else about, you know, the biggest complaint that we have always gotten is somebody's late. You know, and of course, in the first week on a new case, it's not at all uncommon. People are finding their directions, et cetera, like that. There are many reasons that people are late, and sometimes they're accused of being late and they're not, right? Because there's a difference in communication. So how do we communicate with our caregivers? What's the communication process like? Is it all electronic? Do we pick up the phone? Is it text? Is it email? Is it telephonic?
All of the above.
Yeah.
We do it all. We are texting. We are on the phone. We are any way that it kind of helps the caregiver understand whether we have to tell them by mouth and they write it down, whether we have to send it electronically, whether we have to email it. It's basically us doing it to whatever way they can receive the information, yeah, all of the information and the right information. Yeah. So we kind of go accordingly to the caregiver saying, Tori, this is how you have to communicate with me with my cases. So it's basically we go on what their needs are when it comes to getting the information out, yeah, to them.
I mean, we're in a day and age of technology, yeah, but not everybody's tech savvy.
It's tech savvy,
so
not everyone.
People are still pick up the phone and call me. So however way it works, we'll do it that way.
So why don't we talk about I have a lot of questions. So why don't we start with, we use the term caregiver kind of somewhat haphazardly, or interchangeably. When we talk about a caregiver, what is the requirement to be a caregiver, and then what do we require for caregivers to be a caregiver for us?
Okay. Caregiver is anybody, a certified nursing assistant, home health aide, somebody who went through school, went through our certification with our director of nursing, somebody with experience, school, whether that's school or having worked with somebody for 15 plus years, whatever, some type of experience like that. We are actually very tight on who we let in.
Yes.
Not only do you have to have the schooling and the education, but you have to have your paperwork, your documentation. We want to see that. We want to see good references. You have to pass a 60-question League of Nursing test. Now we have this other form of hiring that they have to take not one or two, but they have to take four tests. And they have to score fairly well, 80%. You know what I mean? 80% is pretty high. It doesn't leave room to miss much. And we keep it that way because, I mean, I don't know, Tori. We see people that if they fly through the radar or just make it, it shows later on
it
shows in what they don't do or what they do, try to cut corners.
As well as with,
yeah,
your orientation process.
Yeah.
Like, that's very good because it gives us a chance to basically see who and what they are.
Yeah.
Claudine's real good at walking out and letting me, Alicia, kind of walk in and kind of introduce ourselves and see what the ladies are looking for so we can kind of have it waiting for them once orientation is put through. That process gives us a chance to see if they're okay with sitting through our lengthy orientation process.
Yes.
You see some people get antsy and some people with phones. And again, those are not the caregivers we want in,
right,
with our clients, because,
yeah,
we know that that's not them paying attention and being attentive. So that's one thing. Claudine is real good in saying, Tori, go in and see what they're looking for, how things are going. That gives me a chance to see if someone's like, how long is this going to be? I got to use the bathroom. When can I eat? Do I get paid for sitting here?
Yes.
No, this is a job that you're hoping to get, so prove it,
yeah,
that you want it. So it's just a lot of our process is good from my eyes because I am a caregiver. I do know the fly in, fly out orientations, and they show later on.
Yes.
Right.
They show.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that as it comes. In addition to having the schooling required to have their, mm-hmm, certification as an HHA or their license as a CNA, mm-hmm, in Palm Beach County in particular, we're pretty proud of the fact that we were instrumental in ensuring that every HHA as well, and frankly people who aren't HHAs, have to receive certification from the county.
Yes.
In addition to that. But a caregiver has to come with, we call them in services. But,
yes.
So when we bring a caregiver on, what are the things that we insist that they come to us with? I know that CPR makes sense,
yes,
but there's
absolutely
more, right?
Yes, they have to be CPR certified. We go through a level 2 background check, and then we do our own background check. We do social media checks.
Yeah.
They have to have Alzheimer's dementia. They have
assisting
to have
medication.
Assisting with meds, domestic violence, I'm forgetting.
And,
HIV,
yeah, OSHA,
yeah,
HIPAA,
all of the good stuff in the medical field. So,
yeah, that they should already
have. That they should already have
and keep up with.
Yes.
If they're old, I mean, we don't want that we want a refresher course. We
can't say that out loud. That's age discrimination. Don't say that.
If it is not up to date, I should say.
No.
Up to date certification.
Oh, not if they're old, if their documentation
is
old.
No, the documentation, Scott.
Documentation has to be up to date, and we want people who are responsible enough to do that. No, not me.
You're blushing. So I don't really know this number, and I guess I should. Mm-hmm. We reject a lot of people who want to come to work for us.
Especially now.
To give you a little rough estimate, if I have 10 people that are that want to apply, maybe 2 get hired. Maybe.
Well,
yeah.
That's even more restrictive than I know.
We are very tight.
And I this isn't really about comfort care, but it is in some respects. We kind of have a zero tolerance policy, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're very, very rigid in both our hiring process and just as important in our retention process.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
And you have to be, because you have to. There has to be consequences for things you do sometimes. And some people would try to do some things. And again, that's not what Comfort Care wants.
Yeah, I've heard before somebody say about Comfort Care, not knowing that, you know, I was affiliated. But, you know, they don't play.
Yeah.
And it's true. We don't.
Yeah.
Right. Now, it is fascinating. So that's on the caregiver side, right? Now, I do know this. I don't know that you know this. We have well in excess of 100-plus caregivers who have been with us full-time for over a year, and that's very unusual, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we expect from the caregiver. On the client side, okay, what are some of the things that the clients could do to make success more likely?
It's all in the details. Little things help. Knowing, like we talked about earlier, if there's pets in the home, if there are certain types of allergies, if there's something that the client likes to do, if they like to play spades, if they like to go to the park and walk and have a picnic, details. We like details so we can effectively put the right person. Do they want somebody that will sit there and speak to them all day, or do they want to be left alone and just have somebody help when need be? I mean, all of that helps, because if we don't know these things and, you know, we send somebody that's completely opposite, and that can start off not so good.
Not so good.
Yeah.
It's a matter of matching, knowing, and that's something that we do at Comfort Care, a day in the life and the social life of our clients.
Yeah.
So that's something that does go out when we get new clients in, and it's given to us. So we kind of know what that client is looking for. We kind of know. So with us being there so long, we kind of know this person is good for this person, or this person doesn't talk as much, so we're not going to put this person in.
Right.
We also have caregivers that, not to say don't like going into a home with multiple people staying there with their parents or the children staying with their parents, something of that sort, because it takes away from what they really can do just for that patient, for that client. They're put into a maze of doing more than what they should, but because some of our caregivers are who they are, they're not going to say no.
Right.
That's just...
Yeah,
some
you can't be a caregiver without having a heart.
And
it's hard for caregivers to say no to somebody who's not their client. And the other conflict with having too many people in the house is, you know, we've all seen this, and I say this, we've all seen it in this room here, but out there, it is not uncommon for a daughter to be directing a caregiver because that's what she thinks mom wants.
Right.
All right. And mom doesn't want that, and the caregiver doesn't want that. Nobody wants that except the daughter, and the daughter has lost control of the situation, all for good reasons. I mean, they're desperately trying to do what's best in their mother's best interest. They only have the best outcome at heart, but they're oftentimes mistaken. I tell a story of a woman once from New Jersey whose mother was here, and she insisted that she wanted an older caregiver because her mother was in her 90s at the time. She wanted an older caregiver, and that because they would have more in common. And the reality was, and after the daughter got on the plane, went back to New Jersey, we put a nursing student in who was 19, and they became like grandma and granddaughter. And that's 2 years match. Later, I got a phone call after that client moved to New Jersey telling me how much we changed her life. Yeah. And it was really a very emotional phone call at that time. So what the family thinks mom wants isn't always the case. And the rubber hits the road when nobody else is there, which is, I think, what you're saying. Yeah. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with Claudine Lewis and Tori Watts, who, incidentally, work for Comfort Care. We've never done this before. We're very excited to have them here. We're talking about the caregiving dynamic. Claudine is responsible for running our scheduling and hiring process. Tori's been with us for 6 years, almost 6 years, as started, was a caregiver somewhere else before she came here. And there's a third person in the triumvirate that runs this, but she's not here tonight. She's in school. But Tori Watts and Claudine Lewis are here. And we're going to talk more about the caregiving dynamic, what you can do to ensure that you get the very best caregiver in your home, whether it's with us or with anybody else, and what we can do to prevent or anticipate problems that might make the scheduling or the caregiving experience not as favorable for you as you would like. If you have questions for Claudine or Tori or myself, the good news is you can call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with health care challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
You might know that one out of four adults over 65 fall and end up in the emergency room each year. What hits even closer to home is that one in 10 adults over 65 fall every hour of every day in Palm Beach County. Hi, I'm Dan Lagani, the CEO and co-founder of Silver Solutions, the on-demand safe living and home solutions company. At Silver Solutions, our mission is to help make your future look different. For over a decade, we've been working with families like yours to eliminate home safety risks so that you or mom can safely age in place. And when it's time to downsize or ready a family home for sale after a loss, Silver Solutions specialists will also help and do the work for you. To find out more, call now to schedule a free home assessment at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online now at silversolutions.com. Silver Solutions, we make growing older safer and easier for the whole family.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm really excited about tonight's show because I have two people who are very, very important to me on here tonight. We have Claudine Lewis and Tori Watts. Tori and Claudine actually work with me at Comfort Care, and they are responsible for making sure that the best caregiver possible gets in somebody's home. And that's not always easier. It's easier than it's harder than it sounds, okay? We don't just smile and dial. It's not caregiver roulette. We don't give the case to the first person who says yes, that they can handle it. And we're going to talk more about that. But in addition to all of the things that we've been talking about already, Tori, Claudine, either one of you, both of you, one of the biggest challenges is expectations. Clients have expectations about what a caregiver can, should, or will do. So can we talk about what caregivers do and what they can't do? And then after we get through that, we'll talk about what they're asked to do and they don't want to do. So what do caregivers do? What is a caregiver's responsibility?
Our caregiver's responsibility, being with the client, is light housekeeping, meal prep. We promote standby assistance at all times. I don't care if that client can walk, if they are mobile, standby assistance, shopping, errands, doctor's appointments. It's a matter of if the caregiver has to drive their car, drive the client's car. The clients do have a choice in what they want when it comes to that aspect. The caregivers do the light housekeeping. They do whatever's needed of them. We do have
ADLs.
ADLs. Yes. All ADLs.
Yeah.
All ADLs.
Plain and simple. I mean, I think we're there. What I say is we're there to assist the client in the things that they cannot do on their own, yeah, or standby assistance at all times.
That's
just to help, even if they can do.
So I said ADLs. Not everybody knows what an ADL is.
Activities of daily living.
Activities of daily living. That's why I spelled it all out.
And they are
simple things. Bathing,
dressing.
Dressing, grooming.
Making a meal.
Making a meal.
Yeah, cleaning up.
Filing a nail. Not cutting a nail. Filing a nail. Things
shopping.
Of that sort. Shopping. Things like that.
Right. Yeah. Things we can't do.
We can't do what Tori just said. We can't do anything medical.
A lot of our clients say, well, they said that you can do light housekeeping. Our light housekeeping entails cleaning up behind the client in the common areas that the client
keeping
uses.
Keeping a sanitary environment
for the caregiver as well as the client in their home. Some of the clients will say, well, I need my bathroom clean. And again, if the caregiver has went inside with the client and help shower the client, then again, if it's water on the floor, we want you to get that up because we don't want any mistakes. We want you to tidy up. But no, at no point is my caregiver scrubbing a toilet, getting inside, and
doing
getting
their
wet,
taxes.
And scrubbing. Yeah, doing your taxes.
No.
They ask some things. They really do. We do not deal with saying our caregiver has to touch any chemicals whatsoever because we don't want any type of allergic reaction to go on in the home or something happen.
Yeah.
We eliminate any of that. A little wet Swiffering is okay.
Yeah. On the medical side, we don't do wound care.
Right, we don't
right?
do wound care.
So this is always hard for me to explain, and I know it is for you because you deal with it more often than not. We can assist with self-administration of medication, but
right.
we do not administer medication. So, for example, eye drops comes up all the time, putting ointment on wounds, wound care. We get to a point where we can do only so much. I had a situation on a Saturday where somebody had a colostomy bag. We can empty the bag, but we can't change the bag.
Right.
So and sometimes that becomes a source of a disconnect and discontent.
Yes.
But we are non-medical private duty home health care as opposed to anything medical. But with a doctor's order, while our caregivers can't do that, we can provide nurses who can, right?
Nurses.
LPNs.
Mm-hmm.
So you get in trouble when you tell that to clients sometimes, don't you? They don't like to hear this.
Yes,
they get upset.
Yes, and then they say things of, well, don't send me that one back. They want another one, as if the next one is gonna do what that one didn't do. Not to say that that one may not, because it happens. But
Oh, I was going to say, some of the other things, we mentioned it briefly before, pets matter, right?
Yeah.
Cleaning up after dogs, walking dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that we will do if we find a caregiver who's not afraid of a dog,
yes.
Right? But that's kind of starts to get beyond the scope of their job responsibilities.
Right. I mean, pets are, depending on the family, they are another part of the family, and we don't take that lightly, but some caregivers don't want to take care of that family member.
Right.
So that gets a little hard. It does get a little hard.
Right.
They may not mind, you know, maybe picking up some poop here and there, but they don't want to take the responsibility.
Down, but they don't want to do all that walking.
No. Taking the dog out for a walk, a stroll, whatever.
4 times a day.
No, they don't want to. They don't want to do that, or they don't want to have to, you know, pet him or her. She likes that.
And we have clients say, he's just gonna jump on you and love you. It's okay. Some caregivers can't sit there with a dog or a cat jumping on them. But again, that's their family member, and they love them, and they don't see why you won't do it if you're there for them. So it's just a matter of figuring it out and knowing how to talk to
them. So that's what you need to know in order to match the right caregiver
with
the right client, right?
Yes.
We need to know that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it from the client side in just a minute. But if you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with two wonderful ladies. If you've been listening, you know that. Tori Watts is here. Claudine Lewis is here. They are actually, they work with me at Comfort Care. And they are responsible. They are the front line of our organization that puts caregivers in our clients' homes. And matching caregivers to clients is a unique skill set. And if you've been listening, you know that a lot goes into this, and we have a lot more to talk about, which will help explain even further why it is so important. If you have questions for Tori or for Claudine or for myself, you can reach us, 877-960-9960. It's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us here tonight. If you're listening on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, we are so appreciative that you are with us, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We love you, too. For you regular listeners, you know we're here every Monday night between 6 and 7. To our new listeners, we're here every Monday night between 6 and 7. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents here. And tonight, we're talking with two very special people, Claudine Lewis and Tori Watts. They actually work with my company. And after 9 years, this is the first time I've ever had one of my employees on the or any of our employees on the air. And I'm excited that they're here because they are helping us understand how best to match caregivers and clients. To both of you, one of the things that we do, not everybody does, but we do, we open every case with a registered nurse. We send an RN out on every case to help build a plan of care. One, how helpful is that to you in matching caregivers and clients? And two, how does it help you? Right? Is it helpful, and how does it help you?
Yeah, it's helpful because every caregiver is different. Every caregiver has their strong points, and when I say strong points, we know most of their strong points through working with them, interviewing them, speaking with them. So if we have more details on the client, we can match them the best with a caregiver.
That's what Cindy with our nurse going in and letting us know this client weighs this much. This client has this much room to maneuver. This client does this. We can be able to know when a caregiver does accept a case, we can discuss between us ourselves and say, we don't think she's big enough, or we don't think that she can do it. Because, again, some of our caregivers are good with being the errand runners and not basically doing that type of work of lifting. We don't want to put them in a position to where they're hurt or the client is hurt. So with our nurse going in and assessing the client before we send someone out, we can kind of say, this person isn't good for that case. We're going to try this person who we know don't have any problem with doing that type of work.
Yeah, we have some caregivers that are great at companionship some caregivers that are great at just getting the job done.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then there, it's important, you mentioned it earlier, Claudine, but I think it bears repeating. There are clients who want caregivers who hover over them.
Yes.
And there are clients who want caregivers to be invisible, right? Unless they need them,
right?
And it's important to know that. And part of one of the things that our nurse does in the assessment process is determine what we need. Do we ever make mistakes? Do we send the wrong caregivers by mistake?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, we are human. We make mistakes,
and that's when we tell our clients, please do not think that the first person is who was for
your
you.
Your person.
Let us search. Yeah. Let us continue. Give us another chance, please.
We had that recently. We had a client where we kept sending someone, and it wasn't working, but the wife was patient with us, and the last person
we sent, she hit it off. It was...
Yeah, you got to go through a couple.
We went through a couple, but again, it's worth it because we know that that client is okay. We know that what that client needs, that caregiver can meet. So. Yeah. It's worth it sometimes. It really is.
And what are some of the typical pain points? I mean, where do we, what don't we know that we find out too late and therefore send the wrong person there? What are some of the pain points that we experience?
They don't like a male caregiver. They want a female caregiver.
Right. Yes.
That's one of the biggies.
Yes. Males are, they're hot commodity for us, but they're, a lot of clients prefer women. Or so they think. Sometimes they can, or they may think that they need a man and they don't. Sometimes we could read the specs and think, you know, a man would do this, but sometimes the best women we have can handle it just as better and do more, you know. So any little thing can kind of set us off track, but then we'll pick it back up.
And what about cooking style, right? That always comes up, right? People have, you know, like they don't like the way you make my eggs, right?
Well, we don't have gourmet chefs. We may have some.
We may have some.
But as long, I mean, I think the requirement that we look for is as long as they can boil water.
Cut the stove on, make sure it does not turn black and no smoke.
They can make coffee.
Coffee. Yeah.
Right.
The simple things.
Yeah, simple. The misconception is that they can make a whole, you know, Thanksgiving meal.
Do you encourage clients when you talk to them to tell you what's not going well so that you can counsel them?
Yes. Sometimes they are very, you know, reluctant in telling us. Mm-hmm. They think that the caregiver that was there may get in trouble. We want to know what didn't work out so we don't do it again.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's important that communication. So I know you encourage communication with clients, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. I am very much so one of those people who communicate with a lot of the clients. And again, we have a good relationship because, again, you speak to these people every day almost. Yeah. And it's not because there's a problem. It's just because they want to speak to you every day. It's just a matter of just being there. Again, I've always been the grandma's child, the grandparent's child. So that takes to me. That's very easy for me to just sit and talk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very easy for me.
Right. That's an interesting part, too, is that I know both have parents and mm-hmm. you have grandparents, yeah. right? And your mothers. Yeah. So so you understand it from a caregiver's perspective, who often are single moms, mm-hmm. and from the client's perspective, because you are daughters and granddaughters,
Absolutely.
Right? So that makes a big difference. If you're just tuning in tonight, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here speaking with two very special ladies, Claudine Lewis and Tori Watts. They both work with Comfort Care. They work with me at Comfort Care. What they're responsible for is putting the best caregiver possible in a client's home and what it takes to make that happen. We're going to talk a whole lot more about that as in the time that we have left. We're going to talk about some of the hardest things. We're going to talk about some of the easier things. We're going to talk about what kind of emergencies we face, some success stories. One of the things that's really important is we're going to talk a little bit about the cultural influence in making sure that you get the best client possible, because that plays a very important role in the dynamic of matching caregivers and clients. So if you have any questions for Claudine or for Tori or for myself, you can call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Long before most of us ever heard of COVID-19, Silver Solutions understood that growing older wouldn't always be easy, but it could be safer and more rewarding. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on creating physically safer homes for older adults, wherever home is. Whether you're senior-proofing your current home, downsizing to assisted living, or emptying a home after the loss of a loved one, Silver Solutions can help. To find out more about our services or to schedule a free virtual home assessment, call Silver Solutions today at 1-877-AGE-SAFE. That's 1-877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our specialists are deeply experienced, compassionate, and follow rigorous CDC guidelines, including the use of full personal protective equipment for your family's safety. You can't control everything in life, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. If you're a regular listener, you know that. If you're a new listener, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. Don't forget that. Please come back. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents, and it runs the gamut. Tonight, we're doing a very special show. We've been doing the show for 9 years. This is the first time any other employee of the company I work with has been my guest, and I'm excited that they are. Claudine Lewis and Tori Watts are here. Claudine, it runs our HR group and heads up our scheduling department. Tori's been with us almost 6 years, and she's masterful at putting good caregivers together with clients and making sure that we get the best possible caregiver there. There is a third member of the team, but she's in nursing school and she's taking a test tonight. We wish her well on that. And Tori and Claudine have been doing a great job of telling us what it is that they do. One of the things that comes up all the time for us, ladies, is cultural issues, right? I mean, there are certain cultural issues that really matter in caregiving, and maybe we can share some of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think the language is a tough thing. Sometimes there is a huge language barrier between client and caregiver, and that can be a challenge sometimes. Trying to get them to communicate with each other.
Yes, and that as well as the culture in eating. We have a lot of caregivers that take food with them to their clients' home for lunch. And a lot of our clients are kosher. So a lot of things are not accepted in their home. So again, that's another thing that we need to know, because we have to be able to tell our caregivers that as well, because they are due their lunch.
Yes.
But again, we do not want to disrespect anybody in their beliefs and their religion. So again,
and that's both client and caregiver.
That's both client and caregiver.
Yeah.
So that's one of another cultural difference that we see a lot in with their food and what they like and don't like with that.
You know, it's funny you mentioned kosher caregiving, and of course we have some protocols about that. And caregivers are not kosher, but Seventh-day Adventist caregivers really understand it, frankly, better than caregivers who are not Seventh-day Adventist.
Yes, that's true.
So if we understand that, while we don't ask religion on the applications, if we happen to know over the years that somebody's been working with us, we can head that off. Yeah. But the other place that culture comes into is even shopping, if you're going to Publix, right? Not buying something, again, using kosher as an example, making sure it has the OU or K on it, right, is really important.
And we have a couple of caregivers that we send to those specific cases because we know they have an eye for those things. We know that they're going to be attentive and they're going to pay attention to what needs to be done to where it's no mishaps.
No, it's people wouldn't think of that. One of the other things that people wouldn't think of, which we get this all the time, our population, our client population is old. They have some infirmity or else they wouldn't need us. They need help with a lot of things. Maybe sometimes the caregiver thinks the client's in trouble and wants to call 911, and the client says, don't call 911. What happens?
We tell them to call 911.
Yeah. Call 911.
Yes. I mean, we are the caretaker at the end of the day. We know what's best. And sometimes, you know, they don't want to go to the hospital. Of course, nobody wants to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
But if it's for their well-being,
and that's number one to us.
Yeah. Sometimes the caregiver wants to appease the client, but at the end of the day, we want to make the right decision and make sure that they're okay. So call 911.
Yeah. And that's what we're there for, to make those types of decisions.
Yeah.
You have to be able to know, no, this has to be done. At no point, if you have to second guess, should I call 911? You should not have to do that. You need to call 911.
Yes.
You shouldn't have to second guess yourself.
Yes.
And for clients that are on hospice, this is especially challenging because most people don't know if you're on hospice, you don't call 911.
We
know those clients, but again, the families, they make sure we know that when it's to that point, shall I say. So no, you do not call 911. Right. That's not what
And
they
for
want.
Our caregivers, that's tough.
It's tough for them because
they want to do all that they can to make sure it doesn't go down a different route.
Yeah.
But if it is a hospice client, again, like you said, there is no 911.
It's no 911.
A lot of clients don't understand that typically. It becomes a real problem. I know it's a challenge. So what's the hardest part of your job?
Ooh, I've got to be honest.
What is it?
Well, good.
The caregivers. The caregivers.
Yeah, no.
Not the clients, because again, I can speak to all the clients. I'm going to say older people. I'm a geriatric girl. I like older people. I can deal with them. It's the caregivers. That's my hardest part of it. Because to them, they say, Tori, you're the mean one. No, Tori's the stern. When Tori knows what has to be done, I got to do my job. You have to do your job. And we have to do it to where it's done correctly. And we all get along. But it's the caregivers for me.
I think the hardest part for me is, I don't know, talking to a client 1 week and the next week they're no longer here. That's the hardest part for me.
Yeah, we lost a client today.
Yes.
And
we spoke to last week.
Yeah.
Right. And the client, which I heard today, was hysterical. I heard
the caregiver.
Yeah. We do build those kind of relationships,
Absolutely.
Don't we? Right.
And she's
we have
with him. Yes. Like they are there from day one with these clients.
I remember staffing them when they first came in, and she's been on it for a very long time.
And she has been with him sometimes day in, day out.
Yeah, never leaving.
Never leaving him. So those clients and those caregivers, they tear away at my heart too as well. But again, I know that it was a true relationship. It was a true something that was put together. It was meant to be. So those are
makes
hard
us
as well.
Feel good that we can see them all the way through, but it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
No, we lost a client about 6 months ago. That were a husband and wife, and we lost the wife first, which was a surprise, right? Because we thought that she would last much longer than her husband, who was really seemed much sicker. The family, as I recall, was incredibly concerned about how well or not well how well the caregiver was handling it.
Yeah.
They knew that the caregiver was going to be terribly upset. I think of a couple of cases with that, but I heard the caregiver kind of really hysterical crying and you all trying to calm her down today.
Yeah,
so you're right. Losing long-term clients is really, really challenging. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with two very special people who I work with almost every day and have for a very long period of time. I'm a lucky person that I have the ability to work with two very special, dedicated, and devoted people like Claudine Lewis and Tori Watts. They are very dedicated, knowledgeable, skilled at what they do. And what they do is not easy. They help place caregivers in people's homes. That is really a remarkable task, making sure that they put the right caregiver at the right home and that it all works well. And we're going to talk more to them in just a minute. But if you just tuned in and you're sorry you missed this show, I have good news for you. You don't have to miss it. You can listen tomorrow because we podcast it. Yes, we do. We put it up. OMG, I'm getting up. We will pop. And then you'll be able to listen to this. Should be by noon tomorrow. If podcasting is not your thing, you can go to our website because we put it up there as well. It's just palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfort Care, ComfortCare. Do not put a T in there. I know you want to. Spell check will force you to. It'll separate the words. It's Comfort Care. ComfortCare. PalmBeach.comfortcare.com. Wherever you are, you can listen to us because we're on iHeartRadio as well. If you have the iHeartRadio app, all you have to do is search for True Oldies in Palm Beach. We'll be there again every Monday night at 6 o'clock. And wherever you are, you can listen to us if you have your smartphone with you because we simulcast We simulcast on www.trueoldiesfla.com. That's trueoldiesfla.com. And I encourage you to listen locally, around the country, or around the world. Next week, you know, I talk about this a lot. Coronavirus has put a lot, and we're going to ask my guest about this in a minute, has put a lot of pressure on us. But no more pressure is felt than those who are struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia. Going into somebody with a mask on when facial expression is so important is hard. Next week, we're going to have Laura Jwelly and Dr. Karen Gilbert here. Laura heads up the family nurse consulting practice at Alzheimer's Community Care. Dr. Gilbert, Karen has been a guest here many times, and we're going to talk about all the wonderful things that they're doing and how you can make survival during this tough time easier, and how you can impact the health of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia during this really difficult time. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk to Dr. Antonio Beltran. Dr. Beltran is a urologist at Good Sam and St. Mary's. We're going to talk specifically about men's health. We don't do that a lot, but we're going to talk about men's prostate health, and we're going to talk a little bit about testicular cancer. Hopefully that's not something you or your loved one ever has to deal with, but it's more common than you realize, and Dr. Beltran has been with Good Sam and St. Mary's for years, and he's excited to be here, but not as excited as I am to have him here. But in the few minutes we have left, Claudine, Tori, how has COVID made things either easier or harder during this period of time? What are some of the special challenges that COVID has inflicted upon your jobs?
It's been harder.
We have a number of caregivers that are just scared. They have families, and they don't want to run the risk of, you know, unfortunately catching this and bringing it home to their family.
Yeah, and then we also have the caregivers that have no choice, and they have to go out and work to take care of their family. So we are trying our best to make sure that we do all we can do on our end, providing masks, gloves, sanitizer. Even if myself, Leisha, Claudine, even if we have to take this to them out of our way, we do this because we want them to feel safe, be safe as possible. We do have the facilities that our caregivers go into. They're doing every 2 week testing. Again, it's just a ease in your mind to know that they're okay, because they have to take care of who we need them to take care of. Like, we have to make sure they're okay. And it's very scary. We have caregivers calling and saying, Tori, I want to work, but I have to come home to my mom, grandma, and four children. That's hard.
Yeah. Right.
That's very hard. And all that we can do is try and put them at ease that we will tell you what you're headed into before you get there. You just have to put the proper PPEs into a place to do what you have to do to stay safe.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's no way around it at this point.
Right.
And clients are scared too, because they don't want somebody they don't know coming into their home.
They don't want multiple people.
Right. And so it's a challenge for you to make sure that you limit the number of people that go into a particular client's home. Right?
Yeah, which can be tough, but we try our best.
We try our best, because some of those clients have multiple shifts in one day. That means multiple caregivers. So we do everything in our power to basically try and get one of those caregivers to do two shifts, to try and eliminate so many people going in. And that may seem simple or just something little to someone, but that puts the client's mind at ease that multiple people are not coming in their home.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's the best part of your job?
Oh, and
other than me.
Wait, working at Comfort Care too.
Obviously, we've been there for years.
Yeah.
It's great. Well,
I'm
going to
be honest.
It has its challenges.
When the big bags of chocolates come in, I'm happy. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, in all honesty, we get to help people every day.
Yeah, I love people. I love, again, older people. I've always been that type of girl. I just like old people. Mm. I like to be around them. I like to talk to them. We love what we do. We love what we do.
Do you have one success story, either one of you, that you're especially proud of?
I mean, I have many.
We have lots of stories.
But I mean, I think whenever we can hear back, you know, your staff was the best.
They were patient with our parent,
and they were patient with us. Yes. Whenever we get those.
Interacting, and I've been in instances to where I've had to get out of my bed and go meet the police.
Yeah. Right.
Again, you don't want them to take my client. I don't want something to happen. So if it's a matter of me going to where they are to calm things down and explain to the officers who this is and why he's like this, let's just get him back home.
Yeah.
Any other instance, it may not have went easy. Again, it's just we love what we do.
And you do a great job, and I can't thank you enough. You're wonderful people. People are blessed to interact with you because you make their lives better, and I know that you do. It's not always easy. It has a lot of challenges. We don't always get it right, but we get it right a whole lot more than we don't.
Right.
And I know that it sounds self-serving for me to say that, but truthfully, you guys do a remarkable job, and I can't thank you enough. And I hope you enjoy coming on the radio tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're every Monday, 95.9 True Oldies in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Again, next week, we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's disease with Laura Jwelly and Dr. Karen Gilbert. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about men's health, urological health, with Dr. Antonio Beltran. I'm very excited that you joined us tonight. I can't thank you enough. I want you to stay safe. I want you to stay well. I want you to stay healthy. Please come back next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, Scott Greenberg. We'll see you next week. Have a good night, all.